Open your Bible, if you will, to the third book in the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 2. You know, there is going to be such tremendous joy this coming weekend in the heart of every child when they come down and they see presents wrapped under the tree. But I want to remind us what we know in our head, but I want it to sink down into our heart that the real joy of Christmas is not wrapped in paper under a tree, but rather the real joy of Christmas is wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. You see, Christmas is all about Jesus. It's God, it's the gift that God gave in His Son. Isaiah prophesied about this. We talked about it last week when he said in chapter 9, "For unto us," Isaiah 9, "for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born." That's the story that you're hearing when you turn on TV. But Isaiah said, unto us, put that back up, please. But he also said, unto us, a son is given. That's the real depth, folks. That's the infinite story. That's what John talked about in John chapter 3 and verse 16. When he wrote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And listen very carefully. There is such tremendous joy in this gift that God gave, that He affords to us. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about God affording us the joy because of being in Christ. The Bible talks about that joy being unspeakable, joy unspeakable. Psalm 16, verse 11, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore." You see, he wants us to have joy. And you and I will have joy if we're right with him. And if we, as we walk with him. You know, one of the classic movies during this season is How the Grinch Stole Christmas. But the real Grinch is the devil. The Bible says, has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the devil wants to steal away your joy. But I want you to get this. He can't steal anything unless you and I let him. Now, what are the joys available to you because of Christmas? Look, if you will, Luke chapter 2, because that's what we're going to talk about this morning in the message, the gift of joy. What are these joys that are available to us because of Christmas? Luke chapter 2, let's begin in verse number 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood round about them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Now, for the shepherds, it started out like any other night. They were tending their sheep in the fields like any other night. But then everything changed. And everything changed because of this announcement. Everything changed because they followed this announcement and went to Bethlehem, and they experienced such tremendous joy. Now, there are three, I'm telling you, great joys that are available to you. I don't care what's going on in your life right now. They're available to you today, and they're available because of Christmas and what God did through Christmas. Here's the first joy. Number one, there is the joy, all because of Christmas, folks, the joy of having a Savior. Look at verse 10. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I put in your notes, the announcement of the Savior being born brought great joy. Not just joy. I mean, you know, folks, when you read God's word, listen. God doesn't waste a word. It wasn't just joy that came to these shepherds. There wasn't just joy that because of what God was about to do was going to afford joy to you and me. It was great joy that was going to be afforded. In fact, the word great comes from the Greek word megas, M-E-G-A-S. It's where we get our word megabyte out of that, or a megaphone, or a megaton. You know what a megaton is? A megaton is that explosive force that is equal to one million tons of TNT. God said, I bring you, through that angel, good tidings of great joy, man. There is great joy that's going to be available to you. There was a TV series a few years ago entitled, I Shouldn't Be Alive. And it was a reenactment series of true stories. And I remember watching it. It was on the Discovery Channel, and I think it wound up on the Animal Planet. But this one episode, a true story, was about this dad and his little 10-year-old girl that got lost in the Australian outback. And they were in their vehicle and didn't know where they were, and he had lost directions, and he started going, and it got real bump, and those stones, some of them were kind of pointed, and then he got a flat, and then he got another flat, and it got to the place to where he was literally running on the wheels. It got down there, and finally the car came to a stop, and they were out in the middle of nowhere, and they were there for a few days, and they got to the place to where they just about had no more energy left. And the little 10-year-old girl and her daddy lay down on the dirt, which was going to be their deathbed. And as soon as the dad lay down next to his little girl, he heard in the distance what sounded like a vehicle. And sure enough, it was. And the adrenaline, he said, began to go through his body. And also through his little girl when he woke her up. Because in the distance came this vehicle to save them. Now listen, think for a moment. If that dad, on those last few moments of their life out there in the outback, if they had come across a treasure chest full of gold, what would that have done for them? They were they were about to die. Or they found a lottery ticket that was worth a lot of money. That wouldn't have done anything. You see, their greatest need was for someone to come and to save them. You and I were born into this world sinking in sin. We were on our spiritual deathbed of sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all, say the word all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so what do we need more than anything else in the world? We need a Savior who will come to us. And that's the message that came to the shepherds. Look at verse 10. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great, great joy, which will be to all people. Now, let me just interject here. The shepherds were the lowest of all the class of people. I mean, they were the lowest of the low. They were the outcast. A shepherd was not allowed to even testify in court. They were considered ceremonially unclean. They were never permitted to go to the temple and go through the ceremony and to offer a sacrifice. They raised the sacrifices, these spotless, clean lambs, for others, but they were not permitted. Do you ever wonder why God sent the message to the shepherds rather than the palace, rather than the Pharisees? You know why? Because God wanted to send a message that what was taking place was for all people, for the lowest of the low and everyone else. Because if Jesus was born for the shepherds, then he was born for everyone. He was born for Ken Harrell. John 3, remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah, but you know, the word world, man, that's such a huge word, isn't it? Yeah, such a big word. Because you can get lost in that word, the world. That's why it is so critical. It's key that we understand that God so loved me. You know, maybe you're listening to me right now and you say, Ken, I know me. I feel like the world's biggest loser. Paul felt like that. But he was so excited that Jesus had come. That's why in Galatians 2:20, he says, he loved me, Paul. He loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me and gave himself for me. Well, you say, well, that's the great Apostle Paul. Yeah, but before he was the great Apostle Paul, he was a dirtbag. He was a persecutor. He tried to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, man. And he says in his own testimony in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, watch this, of whom I am chief. And then you can almost hear Paul saying again as he wrote in Galatians, and he loved me and gave himself for me. Now let me tell you two things about this Savior. Number one, listen, the gift. It is life-changing. It is life-changing when you understand that Jesus Christ came for me. You know what I found out over all the years? A lot of people think Jesus, yeah, they think the Lord is mad at them. Maybe because of how they live or how they lived or what they did or they got saved and then they went back and they fell and they stumbled. They think that the Lord is mad at them. Listen, God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. The Savior was born. Listen, the Savior was born for you. And when that announcement came, all of the angels said in verse number 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Why did the Savior come? I put in your notes. The Savior came because he wants to forgive you and set you free. I'm talking to some people this morning. I suspect, I'm not omniscient, but I suspect in a crowd this size, there are some of you that genuinely are God's, part of God's forever family. You've been saved. But you have listened long enough to where you absolutely have caved in and believed the lie that some sin that used to grip your life still grips your life, and you're just going to be on this roller coaster up and down the rest of your life. Listen, Jesus came not only to forgive us, but to set us free. The first sermon, folks, that Jesus ever preached was in Nazareth. It was on the Sabbath. He went into the synagogue, he grabbed the scroll, and he opened it to Isaiah chapter 61. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus, here's what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he says in verse number 21, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. They knew he was quoting, reading from Isaiah chapter 61. But Jesus says, I want you to understand, I am the one that I just read about. I'm not mad at you. I love you. You see, Jesus didn't come to condemn us. We were already condemned. He came to save us. A prostitute interrupted what was going on in the house of Simon the Pharisee one day. Jesus was in there. She came, found her way, went right in there, which was totally against custom. And she was weeping, and her tears went on the feet of Jesus. And she wiped it with her hair, and she poured the perfume on his feet and anointed it. And Jesus said in Luke 7, her sins which are many, Luke 7, please, her sins which are many are forgiven. And then in verse 50, he said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I don't care what you've done, folks. If you've come to Jesus and you repent of your sin and you turn your life over to him, I'm here to tell you, he'll forgive you, he'll save you, he'll adopt you, he'll make you a part of his forever family. When I was pastoring in Detroit before coming here, one Sunday I noticed there was a very distinguished lady. I saw her while I was preaching. And after the service, she came to me and said, I'd like to talk with you sometime. And I said, that'd be fine, man. Just whenever works for you, just call the office. So anyway, the next Sunday and the Sunday after that, and she came about three or four Sundays in a row, very well-dressed, distinguished. And one day, I got a call in my office, and it was one of my assistants, and I said, Pastor so-and-so, and I remembered the name, and she said she wants to talk with you. And so she came into my office, and I asked one of our assistants, another lady, to come into the office and just sit there with me. And what was unfolded over the next hour just absolutely blew me away. She was a very high-priced call girl in the city of Detroit, making a ton of money, giving her body away to dirt-filled men in a dirt-filled way. And she said, I've been listening. She said, my life got down to the place to where I was ready to take my life. And she said, I was driving down I-75 and I saw the cross on the top of your church. And she said, I just made my way here. And I've been coming. Long story short, there in my office, she got down on her knees and ask Jesus Christ to forgive her of her sin and to give her eternal life. We had a class for those that had just recently come to Christ. And it took place, we had during our Sunday school hour. And I had her give a testimony a couple weeks later. And I will never forget what she said when she talked about accepting Christ in my office. She said, "I fell to my knees as a prostitute and rose up as a lady because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You hear me and hear me well. I do not care what you are carrying. God loves you and will forgive you. That's why there's a Christmas, man. That's why there's joy, man. That's why that lady had joy. That's why I have joy today. That's why anyone can have joy. Because the joy of having a Savior." But there's more. Not only the joy of having a Savior. Number two, there's the joy because of Christmas. There's the joy of having God's peace. The Bible says, "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." You won't find him wrapped in some sweet little blanket. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, cloths that they were used to bury dead people with. That's why, yeah, that's how you're going to find him. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest,'" watch this, "'and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men.'" Do you have peace this morning? I'm not asking you, do you come to Northwest? Do you have peace? I mean, is there peace in your heart? You know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah said. Paul said, "For he," speaking of Christ, "he is our peace." Let me tell you a couple things. Number one, God doesn't want you to live in fear. God does not want you to live in fear. I don't know. Listen, folks. I don't know if you've noticed that all throughout the Christmas story, God is communicating something to you and me, and that is, I don't want you to live in fear. You hear this over and over again. Do not fear. The angel came to Zacharias, the son or the father of John the Baptist. You know what he said? Do not be afraid. The angel came to Mary. You know what the angel said? Do not be afraid. The angel came to Joseph. You know what the angel said? Do not be afraid. The angel came to the shepherds. What did he say? Do not be afraid. You know why? Because fear is of the devil. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." No, he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I put in your notes. Listen, folks. If your heart is filled with fear, then there is no room in your heart to be filled with faith. Folks, the devil traffics in fear. Late last evening, I was just going over one more time my message, and I hadn't thought about this until I came to this part. Over 25 years ago, when I was making a decision where I felt that God wanted me to go, It narrowed down really to three places. One of the churches I would go and I'd be set for life. They'd let me bring my team of my choosing. It was a very large ministry. I'd be set for life. Or I could come to Hilliard, Ohio with a wonderful group, but a very small group of people. And if I came, they were very gracious, but my salary would be about a little over a 65% cut in pay. And I can remember a moment when I was thinking about that and thinking, I'm 43, or going to be 43. I got two girls. I've been at this thing for a lot of years. And I can remember there was a moment when fear started coming in and thinking. And God reminded me, Ken, if your heart is filled with fear, then your heart cannot be filled with faith. And God removed that fear. And here I am 25 years later. The Lord doesn't want us to live in fear. Over and over again, folks, over and over. This is not just some flippant thing. Oh, not a point. God knows that the devil traffics in fear. He wants to get you afraid and to live and be gripped by fear. But over and over in the Word of God, I mean, like Joshua chapter 1, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I mean, what's the name the angel gave to Joseph for Jesus? Matthew 1 verse 23. Watch this. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, watch this, God with us. Listen, the joy that comes when you know that God is with you. You don't need to be afraid because God is with you. The second thing I want you to see, listen, God wants you to live in supernatural peace. The Lord says, listen, no matter what's going on in your life, I want you to have peace. If you're a student of history, you realize that back in the height of the Roman Empire, it was called the Pax Romana, Roman peace. It went from 27 BC to 180 AD. And if you were a Roman citizen, you walked wherever you wanted to on this planet under the umbrella of the power and the government of Rome. And there was no war. One philosopher wrote, and I put this quote in your notes, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns for more than even for outward peace. Richard Dreyfuss was being interviewed by Barbara Walters. Dreyfuss was in the film Jaws and Mr. Holland's Opus and What About Bob? And Barbara Walters asked him this question. She said, Richard, what do you long for more than anything else? And immediately Richard Dreyfuss said, peace, peace. I don't have any peace. I have money, I have fame, but I don't have any peace. So how do you get the peace inside of you? Well, the world says, if you just get enough money, I mean enough money, and you get your marriage together, and you get healthy, and you make sure you have enough life insurance, you get all of that stuff moving on all cylinders, and you'll have everything together. You'll have peace. But hear me and hear me well. The world's peace is like a house of cards. One little event, and it all can come crumbling down. God wants you to have supernatural peace so that whatever's going on in your life, and I've seen it fleshed out in my lifetime with people that get cancer, and they have a peace that just surpasses understanding. A loved one that is killed in a car wreck, and they have peace deep down in their heart. It doesn't mean they're not hurting. Peter had that kind of peace. Peter was in prison when you read in Acts chapter 12. And he was getting ready to be put to death. You see, Herod had already started persecuting. He had killed James, the leader of the church. And he thought, I got the number three man. I wonder, and the people loved it. He said, what would it be like if I get the number one man? And so he had Peter arrested, brought to prison in chains. And so here's Peter in prison, in chain, behind, in the middle of two soldiers. And tomorrow he's going to be executed. But at the 11th hour, God sent an angel to intervene. And you know what's interesting? When he gets there, here's Peter chained between two soldiers, and Peter's asleep. He's asleep. I mean, I can just imagine Peter, you know, he's going to die tomorrow, and he says, oh, you know, I think I'm going to call it a night, guys. He's just asleep because he's just at peace. The Bible says in Psalm 4, I don't know if you've ever noticed this verse, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. How could Peter be asleep knowing he's going to die the next day? Because he was right with the Lord. He had turned over everything to him. He cast all his cares on the Lord. Why did Peter do that? Because he knew the Lord cared for him. Philippians chapter 4, let me read to you out of another translation that I normally do. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, one of the joys of Christmas is that the Prince of Peace has come. He is our peace. You're not going to find peace in a bottle, folks. You're not going to find peace in a pill. You're not going to find peace in an escapade. You're not going to find it in a paycheck. You're not going to find it in a position. Isaiah 26 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed. That's what the word stayed means. Whose mind is fixed on you because he trusts in you. What are the joys available, folks, to you? I mean, right now, 2006, what are the joys available to you because of Christmas? The joy of having a Savior. The joy of having God's peace. But there's one more, number three. The joy of stepping out in faith. Look at the shepherds. They got the message and look what they did in verse 15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They came with haste. They heard the message, they took off, and they followed the word. The shepherds were stepping out in faith. Romans 10 says, folks, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I put in your notes, you can't have faith without the word of God. You see, faith is inseparably linked to the word of God. The word of God. The reason you can have faith is because it's something you can stand on. I'm not being irreverent at all, folks. I can standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. You know, when I was a little boy, you know, I mean, I went to church when I was, 2 weeks old or less than that. I didn't know, but I grew up. I remember the first song I ever heard, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Listen, because of Christmas, I can have the joy of stepping out in faith. You know why? Two reasons right here. Faith. Faith, number one, is acting like God is telling the truth. You see, I can step out on the Word of God. Why can't I? Because in Hebrews chapter 6, it says that it is impossible. Say the word impossible. It is impossible for God to lie. You hear that? God cannot lie. It's fixed in His economy. But secondly, something else about faith. Faith is, yeah, it's acting like God is telling the truth, but faith, folks, is responding without delay. I love this about the shepherds. Because you know what? What could they have done? I mean, stop and think about it for a moment. I mean, take yourself and put yourself there. I mean, it would have been so easy for them to go, what in the world was that? I mean, were we dreaming? I mean, here they are scratching their heads, and I can hear one of the shepherds saying, you know what? Let's just kind of, let's ponder this for a couple days and then make our decision before we just go off like that. Let's sleep on it. Well, if they had, they wouldn't have found the babe in the manger. Because they only had, watch this, a short window of opportunity. What did they do? They didn't mull around. Verse 15 says, they said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And watch this, they came with haste. You see, we think we can kick it around. But listen very carefully. I want to talk to you. Could it be that it's time to make decisions, to step out in faith on the Word of God? You've been pondering this thing about Jesus Christ. Is it time for you to get saved? Listen, you need to come with haste. You don't want that window of opportunity to close. You say, I'm already saved. Some of you are saved, but is it time that you crossed over that line and said, you know what? I'm going to make Northwest Bible my home. Let me tell you something, folks. As I study the New Testament, it's crystal clear to me. God has a place for every single one of His kids to hang their hat and call home. And if you've never become a part of the fellowship at Northwest and come into membership, you need to do that. What about baptism? You're saved. Is the Lord saying, you need to step out, man? Whatever it is that's holding you back, and you've gotten to the place to where you're almost comfortable in justifying why you haven't. You need to do that. You know, God didn't make any of us islands. That's why there's so many one another commands. You love Northwest Bible, you come, but you're really not connected. And you're not connected basically because it's just kind of how you maybe are wired or it's how it's been. But is the Lord saying to you, listen, I want you to get plugged in. I want you to be a part of a life group or get a part of something or lead a life group or allow your home to host a life group. You know what happens, folks? I don't care what it is. You know what happens when we step out in faith? Faith always brings about, listen, great joy, regardless of the circumstance. Great joy. Verse 20, then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, heard and seen as it was told them. Listen, as we approach and get into the first part of 2017, we're going to have a membership class that's going to be scheduled. You'll hear about it right after the first of the year. If you're not a member, you need to sign up and get to the membership class. We'll also let you know when the next baptism is going to be. If you've not been baptized, it's time to step out in faith and to make that decision. We'll let you know about life groups or getting connected. You can do that. But if today stepping out in faith for you means I need to get saved, you can't wait to 2017. I'm not trying to motivate by exposure or anything like that. I'm just telling you, there have been too many times in all the years of my ministry where I preached to people on Sunday and buried them before a week had gone by. If you don't know, the Bible says today, now is the day of salvation. While God is prompting your heart and churning. I'm not just talking to somebody that maybe this is your second or third or first week. I'm talking to people also that have been here for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Are you genuinely saved? And you sit week after week after week of wondering, am I or am I not? Listen, leaners may work in horseshoes, but they don't work in God's economy. I say to you today, if you have any question whatsoever, there can't be joy, man. And if you're saved and don't know it, you can lose it and never miss it. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you know what Christmas says to you? You can have the joy of having a Savior. That's why God came into this world for you and for me. Trust Him today. Pray right now and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life.